folks. It's good to have you with us again tonight. And as Ronnie said, we're about 3.5 miles apart as far as our houses go, but we're pretty much, I think, most of the time on close or on the same page. So we'll just let it go at that. And I see the numbers a little fewer than usual here, but nevertheless, this is it's just great to get back on and great to be with you. And and I hope every one of you gets something from the study tonight. But if you don't, you know that I did. You certainly know that it was a joy for me, to get involved in the study. Now, we're going to go to Proverbs 2. We've pretty much finished up our study in the walk that we find over in the word walk that we found over in the Psalms, and that was a great, wonderful experience for me to be able to do that, because, I had read them and, more than one time, but I just never really sat down and said, hey, I'm going to try to dissect this thing a little bit and see how it works. And it was truly a blessing to me, and I think the study tonight is going to be the same way, because in Proverbs 2, in Proverbs in general, it's just something that's being said that we need to take time to look at. And boy, is there the word walk and ways and paths and all this in chapter 2 of Proverbs. I keep forgetting sometimes. I keep wanting to say song. But before we get involved in this, and it's, by the way, this is going to be study 35 and the word walk, and for the tape, it's this is May the 13th, 2015, and we're going to try to do the entire chapter of Proverbs 2, but let's go back. Turn a page or two back according to what you got. If you got a companion Bible, it's just one page back. And let's look at the structure over here for just a minute. And then we're going to look at three or four verses. So we can kind of get some continuity in how, kind of how this thing is laid out a little bit. So let's look back at the structure of the book. If you have a companion Bible, it says this, that in the introduction, it's the word of the wise. And it's also, it says, for Solomon, for a prince and a king. And, of course, it's generally written in the second person. And that's kind of unusual, too. And I'm certainly not a big English student. I guess you could tell by my limited ability to read and get involved in these things. But nevertheless, in the second person, there's five words here. And I'm going to, it might be a good idea to get you a scratch piece of paper or something, because I'm going to say number one, number two, number three, number four, number five when we get to these second person things. So it starts off with my son, I, thee, thou, thine, and the mother. But now I don't think here it involves the mother in the one that we're going to get involved in tonight. And then also, it says that from 10 through 19, it Proverbs by Solomon, for all third persons. And he uses the word he, his, him, they, and them quite a lot too. He even does it in this second chapter that we're going to get involved in. Now, I haven't numbered those. So, we're going to see how this works out a little bit. And, let's look over at the first chapter of Proverbs for just a minute. And let's just read the seven verses that we find in the Companion Bible there on the beginning of Proverbs before we turn the page back over to Proverbs 2, because this tells you quite a lot about, you know, how these things are laid out and what you're going to find out and what it's going to tell us. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. That's what we're looking for. Wisdom and instructions. If for nothing else, when we tune in and when we get involved in study, I think that is one of the first and foremost things on our mind that we're going to learn something, that we're going to receive some teaching. So that goes along with instruction, but wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit to us, for us. So to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. You know, quite often we have to stop and think about it for a minute and to get the gist of what's being said and what's going on. Then we look at verse 3. To receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And we realize by that the foundation really of God. Because God is good. He's just. He is the judge. And he is a stickler for equity, for doing the right thing. And for those who follow him also to do the right thing. But verse 4 is quite telling too, and it says to give subtlety to the simple. That's talking to me. And to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Well, that's talking to somebody else, because I'm not young anymore. But, that's to the young and the old alike there. And then verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and then will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So, anyone can tell you anything. But wisdom comes from a heart that is dialed in and in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to give us an edge. And I'm looking at this lineup here, and I'm looking at everyone here, you know, as a leg up. I used to bowl with a guy. He was an army colonel, retired army colonel. And when we get to bowling and somebody would start getting strikes, he would call it Jewish percentage. And I thought, what is he talking about? But to the Jews in the beginning, they had the edge because, you know, to them were given favor in God's eyes. And that's who he chose. And so I guess there was a little something to that that I really didn't understand then. But, you know, looking back on it about 30 years later, I can begin to understand a little bit about what he said. And I think it was for me, even though he was not all that big on understanding Scripture. But nevertheless, he was still a good friend. Okay? A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. So there's some things hidden. They need to be dug out. And they will be dug out if you stay in the Proverbs at great length. It said the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord. Now listen to this. I think this is the era, this is what all these, this hinges on. The proverb hinges on, I think, this seventh verse of chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's the difference between someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and someone that don't. When you really boil it down, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I said in my prayer last week that Jesus Christ came and did the finished work that God sent him to do. And he was a gift to us. And he hung on that cross and he gave that life's blood and he gave everything that he got from the earth. That went back. He gave it all back. And what he had was spirit. And that spirit was like, unto me, it was likened to a flower. A beautiful flower that had never been seen before because, you know, when he come as a one-celled being and he was placed in the womb of Mary, that was a hybrid situation. That was a part of God and a part of man. And he had to come that way. But you see, the part of God in Mary's case was there and it overtook her part of man because sin and God can't live together. They cannot thrive together. That is the reason that he was without sin and took our sin. And so that gives us a little lesson about Mother Nature. You know, we look around us and we see hybrid things all around. We see what man has done to hybridize many things, a lot of our food and all this. And it has to be, in some way, you know, all this food has to be pollinated. And God has provided ways of pollination. But you see, he was here for 40 days and he went back and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit. Well, plus the 3 days in the grave. And 7 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. And if you stop and think about it a minute, and it falls right in with nature, it falls right in with everything that God created, that the Holy Spirit now acts within us, which it didn't do with other people in other times, but God in his wisdom created within us a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And so the Holy Spirit gives us this understanding, gives us this wisdom. And so what he's doing is really pollinating us for a spiritual life to come. Now, whoa, think about this a minute. Because we've jumped into deep water here. But you see what I'm talking about? And so, if there's going to be a crop, then the Holy Spirit has to do its work in order to get us to the point that we have been given freedom of these things that God has allowed us. And so he is not going to force himself upon us, but the Holy Spirit doing his work will allow us to see and understand, to believe and know what we have laid up in store for us. And if that doesn't want to make you shout a little bit, I don't know what's wrong. But, yeah, that's the way I feel. And that's the way I see it. Because in plain old English, high school education, I've kind of explained to you how I see how the Holy Spirit is playing this, or doing this role he's doing today. Okay, I'm going to read verse 7 again, then we'll get started with our lesson. Oh, this is freebie. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, you know, nowadays we fear what everybody tells us about death and hell. You know, it's going to a place of torment. You know, where the fire burns and all this stuff. So, but the fear of the Lord is the fact that all we have comes from him. And if he were to choose to cut it off or to change it, what a predicament we would be in. So, in all the ages, you know, people always feared something. They still do. And it said, but fools despise wisdom. And if you try to explain to someone the graciousness and the wonderful things of God, they are not going to have very much time for you if they're not a believer. If they don't have a basic understanding or a basic principle of right and wrong. Mm-mm. So the Holy Spirit has a tremendous job to do. But you know, when I heard the word rightly divided, my thoughts were and my words were, where's this man been all my life? Because I'd been in church, but I hadn't heard what I was hearing. And the Holy Spirit absolutely, I think, had me ready for my thimbleful. And so I'm still filling the thimble up. Okay. Proverbs chapter 2. And there's a lot of walking to here. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of paths. And, you know, God expects the righteous man, or the, it says saints in the place or two here, that there's a certain way that they should walk. This manner of life that we have. You know, we now kind of look at it really as a manner of life. But it can go either way. Walk or manner of life, either one is a good thing. Okay, 2:1. It said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So he starts off and he says, "If thou wilt receive my words." And this is to Solomon from David, and he says, "My son." Well, that's number one. My son is the number one word there. And he says, "If thou receive my words, if thou receive my sayings," the sayings is Imrah, "and hide my commandments with thee." So here again, he's using another one of those five words. And he says, "and hide," or lay up, or put away as a treasure. Not just listen, but to be able to take something and lay it up for the future, if you will. And he says, "my commandments." And my commandments there, in my idea and way of looking at it, is number 4687 in the Strong's. And he says, "and hide my commandments with thee." And "thee" is the third word there. It's, and commandments is 4687. And when you look it up, it means a law or a precept. And it could be human, it could be divine. Because, you know, the kings and the leaders of a lot of these groups, whenever they spoke, it became law. And so certainly, what he's talking about here, I think, so are the things that are divine, the precepts that God laid down for man to follow. Then we get into verse 2. It says, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." So we kind of go back to what we read a while ago in the first chapter. "So that thou," that's number 4, "incline thine ear," number 5 is thine, "unto wisdom." And wisdom there is chokmah in the Hebrew. Chokmah. So it says, the way it comes out in my mind, so you must hearken or bend or prick up thine ear for discerning instructions, because that's what learning or wisdom is. It is also fearing God and learning from God. And he says, "and apply thine heart to understanding." So when you apply something, thine heart, and it's kind of like the ear. You know, the heart is kind of taken here as a receiver of man. You know, the ear and the mind gives your inner being, gives the inner man or the inner man the directions so that the heart will be bent in the direction that the ear has received this message, and the mind has recorded it to understanding, and that's discernment. And this is the first step, I think, of wisdom. The first step is, of course, as we read a while ago, it's the fear of God, but also to realize that it is the love of God, because He has provided us with all things that that we have. We're just the caretakers here. And He said, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. So there He says, for if you go further and you cry out for this wisdom and you seek this wisdom in a manner that's pleasing unto God, and you're seeking after knowledge or after this wisdom, and you lift up thy voice, and of course lifting up thy voice is the crying out for discernment or for understanding. So that's a great thing, to get in a position where you have enough wisdom of the will of God to cry out to Him for more. It's the more. So He says in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, and here the word, you see the word her. And if you seeketh her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then, and I'm going to do 4 and 5 together, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it says, if thou seekest, it's kind of like, you know, going out and looking for a treasure, or prospecting, if you will. And of course, I know this country is not very old, and we had a lot of people that went different places looking for these wonderful things that were in the ground. So in my mind, is if you look, is looking for treasure. If you're seeking or searching, if you're prospecting. And I think that's what seeketh is. If you're earnestly looking for her, and here her is feminine, and if you look it up, it is virgin, a virgin or untouched. Because, you know, if you go to the field, and if you go out into the mountains or wherever you go looking for these treasures, the treasures are generally untouched, because if they'd been touched, someone would have carried them away already. So it's there, and it's, you know, like it was, like where, when God created and it fell into place right at that point. And so we find that the earth yields up this stuff. And it can be gems, you know, could be silver, could be gold, because man goes out looking for all these things that he can use for trade. And and use as collateral for things. And he says, and searches for her as for hidden treasure. So, you know, it's it goes back to the looking and the finding, or the searching for. And he says in verse 5, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. And thou there is number 4, and it says, you will realize. To understand gives you the sense of realization. In your mind, it records it. The fear of the Lord Jehovah. The beginning of knowledge, not the end. This is just the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, it goes back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, where it says, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of the Lord. And find there gives you the understanding of the sense of what that God has hidden, or what is hidden away. You know, if it was just laying around somewhere, it wouldn't be there very long. Somebody would have it and gone. But you have to search for it. And I think, you know, this is the Word of God is that way. You have to get in it and search for it. Or 2 Timothy wouldn't have needed to have been, or it wouldn't have needed to have been read. That, you know, we need to have ourselves approved unto God. Because this knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom, is given of God. And God there, and that word is Elohim. And then it goes to verse 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. So, pretty straightforward there. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, do we really need, if we're a believer, do we really need to pay somebody to tell us what we need to know? Out of his mouth, out of God's speech or his words. And this is, you know, if you go back to Psalms 19, there's 10 words that are used in Psalms 19, and this is word 5, mouth. Out of his mouth. This is how we know God. God has spoken. Psalms 50, verse 1. The great God has spoken. So out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He gives us wisdom and discernment that way. This is how we come to know and to understand and to realize the greatness of our God, and to realize and understand that we serve a living God, not something that man has concocted at, but we serve a living God. And he says in verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteousness. For the righteous. And he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And here's the first part of the walk situation here. And it's certainly not the last. So he layeth up. And, you know, this wisdom that he lays up, it's hidden from the wicked. The wicked can't understand it. A man that doesn't know God and doesn't care to know God, he can't get understanding. And sound wisdom is something stable. It is something you can depend on. It is something, you know, we always say it's something you can take to the bank. But the righteous man needs to dig and search for it. You know, God is not just going. You know how he done his disciples? His disciples would have to come to him later on and say, what did this mean? What did this mean? And so that was kind of the gist of the teaching that way. You know. And then it says in the rest of this verse, he's the buckler. Huh. My game. That is number 4043 in the Strong's. Mogain, and it means a shield or a defense. Kind of like the hide of an armadillo or a crocodile. Scales on a crocodile. They're there for a reason. They're there for a shield and for defense for that animal's body. The rhinoceros, you know, and hide is so tough. But it says that he's a buckler, and that is to them who walk uprightly. And the walk there is 1980 in its whole act. Man has the choice of walking in the way that God would want him to go or the way that he wants to go, because God has given him He give him the right to choose. And to walk uprightly is to those that have chosen to go on blameless. And I think that's what uprightly means. That if you choose to go blameless or uprightly, then you have wisdom of God. You're walking in the way that God would like to see you go. Verse 8. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So he's talking about the man walking uprightly, and he keeps the path of judgments. And the keepeth there is preserveth, or the idea of sealing up, or being sealed. And, you know, here he talks about his saints. And the setting apart in the sealing there is, I think it's something that is a study of several studies all within yourself. And he talks about the paths of judgment, or the righteous paths, or the walks for the men of God. And he says, and he preserveth the way of his saints. So, whether it be then or whether it be now, I think he sealed a life's way when a person believes. And a person that believes now, I think he seals that life's walk or that life's way. Because he says he preserves the way of his saints. And his saints there are favored ones. And they have now later become what we understand is holy ones. Ones that God chose from before the foundation of the world. See, we here in Proverbs, they didn't have all that information. But now, you know, we can look back and see that we have a little more of the picture, a little more of the story. We go to verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Here again is that word path. You know, and a path is an indication of a walk. You're going to follow something. And it generally is a path. So in verse 9 it says, then or at that time shall thou or you will discern righteousness and judgment and let's say wisdom and fear. So that tells you quite a lot. And equity. Equity is number 4339 in the Strong's. And it means evenness or uprightness. Yea, every good path, every good walk, or every good way is what God is expecting His saints to follow. How we're doing on time? Pretty good. Okay, when you get to verse 10, it says this. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. 10 and 11. So when? At that time or because? Chokma, this wisdom, this discerning, this instruction, this wisdom that God has so graciously laid upon us. It says, entereth into thine heart. So, verse 10 to verse 22 here, since we're into verse 10, it is going to apply, to us, right? Straight on through and gives us a sense of what needs to be said concerning several things. And let's go and look at the note in verse 10 where it says, when and or because. It says, commencing the particular instructions as to the practical power of wisdom to keep from evil men, this is verse 10 through 15, and the foreign woman, that's verses 16 through 19, and in the way of good men, which deals with verse 20 through 22. So, the way this proverb is laid out from 10 through the end of the chapter, here it's going to deal with particular instructions as to the power of wisdom and to keep away from the evil men because, you know, they're up to no good, always have, seems like always will. And then, of course, the foreign woman. and to the nation of Israel. A foreign woman is never a good thing. And then it ends up verse 20 and 22 with going back and giving some of the promises of God. So it says, when wisdom entereth into the heart, this wisdom, at the time that it does, this gives us these discerning instructions. It cometh into the inward man, into the heart. And here in verse 10, heart and soul is kind of combined together, because the second part of that verse, you know, goes on to say in 10, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So the beginning of wisdom, that is this knowledge that we talked about over there in verse 7. Is pleasant. Pleasant there is 5276. And I think the Hebrew pronunciation of that is ma'ami. And that means to be agreeable or sweet. So this knowledge that God is putting forth to man, or to someone who has knowledge of God and is willing to live under the aspects that God is setting forth here, is pleasant, or it's agreeable and sweet to thee, to thy soul. So the heart and soul, you know, is basic to the inward man. And God, you know, he looks at the inward man in that situation. So then he goes on and says, discretion shall preserve thee. And discretion here is literally a plan. And it's 4209 in the Strong. But you can have a plan. It can either be bad or good. You know, it's like your walk. You can be walking in the will of God, or you can walk out of the will of God. But the plan is, I think here it's in the good sense. So discretion shall or will preserve or keep. That word preserve shows up again. Will keep you, or thee. And thee there is the number 3 that we started out with over there about thee, thou, and thine, and all those things. And it says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And preserve and keep seems to fall in the same category. And of course, thee there is number 3 again. And understanding. And the understanding can be made up, I think, of 2 things: wisdom and fear. Wisdom or fear. And you know, in that day and that age, I think fear was a great factor in that sense. Then we get to verse 12. It says, to deliver thee from the way of evil, of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, not forward things, but froward things.
What does that mean?
Well, we'll get to it in a minute.
Okay.
You know, to deliver is to pluck or rescue thee, or you, from the way of, or out of the path of, the evil man. The lawless ish. The ish that doesn't believe God. the wicked one, the wicked Ish. And generally when you see man here, it is Ish. Okay, it says, from the man that speaketh froward things. And that is to have no association with the Ish that gives perverse words, because froward is 84:19 in the Strong, and it means perverse. The things that goes against God. He's not speaking the things that will move you in a position toward God, but it moves you in a position away from God. He said, from the man that speaketh. They have no association with the Ish that gives perverse words. Verse 13. Who leaves the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. So this Ish, that's who he's speaking about, and the who there, he has detoured from the way that God wanted him to go. He has left the path. He is no longer on the trail of God. He's detoured from the straight or the right path. To walk. And walk there again is 1980. And it again is Holak. In the ways. And like the Ish man does. In the paths. Of darkness. And darkness is always generally used as the effect of evil or wickedness. You know, when you talk about when darkness is mentioned generally in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, it is the effect of the evil one, because God is light. And so the evil one works in darkness and hides himself that way. That's part of his persona. And he goes on to say 14, talking about these Ish again there. It says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. So these Ish men that's not walking in God's path, but walking in their own way, they obtain pleasure. This rejoicing there is obtaining pleasure in their work of wickedness, to do evil. And I can't think of anything greater than sitting in front of my television and looking at ISIS over there in that part of the world today, who take pleasure in beheading people who says they're Christians. So things haven't changed a lot. And it says, let's read the rest of that in 14. Who rejoice to do evil. And my goodness, there's no greater evil in my sense than those that would take the life of someone who claims to know God and know His Son. And He says, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. So they obtain this pleasure. They love it. They feast upon it. And frowardness here is 3868. It's a little different from the other one up there that we just looked at. And that means to turn aside and be perverse. Because the more perverse it is, the more they turn aside, the more delight they get from this lawlessness or this evil doing that they seem to enjoy. Verse 15 says, whose ways are crooked, and they froward, they're perverse in their path. So he says, their manner of life are crooked. 15. Their ways are crooked. 61:41. If you look at it, it's distorted and false. The more distorted they can make it, and the more false they can make it, the better it seems like it goes over to a lot of people. And they froward in their paths. This Ishmael, they are so perverse in their walk or their manner of life or in their way. So perverse and so bad until there's not a good explanation to give for them. They have carried it to the depths of despair, I think, that way. And 15 was the last part of the men that the evil men that we talked about, but we're running out of time, and so we'll stop there at 15, and we'll pick up with the foreign woman and talk about her situation in the next study, and finish up this chapter, because it goes on to talk about the land, and it goes on to talk about the earth. And you know, there's a difference in that too, and how that God is going to take care not only of the things in the land, but when he comes back and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then he's going to be that ruler of the earth. And so, you know, there's a difference there, but it sounds to be similar, and it is, but there's certainly a difference in that situation. And so that's something that we need to look at too. So you see the need for knowledge and the need for wisdom and the need for God's Word and the need for us, especially in this day and age, you know, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A man that needeth not to be ashamed. To have the precepts and the understanding and the ideas of what is required of us as a member of the body of Christ. And that, again, goes back to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to do that if we'll put the old man aside and give the new man room to expand. And when we expand in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, then we're expanding the new man. And I think that's a great thought. So we thank you for your time. We thank you for being with us. And certainly you don't have to agree with everything that I said, but you know, think on it and see if it doesn't give you a little better handle on, you know, how God laid things out. And that finished work of the Lord, I don't think we'll ever get to the depth of it, but certainly every little thing that we can understand about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I think puts us in a little different classification with the rest of the folks that are down the road here somewhere in a building paying somebody to tell them what they need to know. And so I'll just leave that with you that way. God bless you. I love you. I love you all. And thank you for the opportunity to come and share some of it with you. And certainly hope that it'll give you some springboard, you know, to go in all kind of different directions, because this is what God's Word is. It's the manifold wisdom that we're seeking after. It's not just one little way or one little path. That's a denominational thing. But the manifold wisdom of God is the various things that have been laid in place, and we don't understand them all yet. I don't. But every little thing that I can find that seems to fit in place certainly helps my understanding when I go back to the Word and look at it and read. And I just thank God for it. And I thank y'all for your time and effort and your love and prayers. Pray for us as we pray for you guys. And that we uphold each other before the throne of grace to God. But thank you again. And love you. And I'll unlock the mic.